Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the show that is going to be named very soon here on Blind Bargains Audio. I am Joe Steinkamp, and I'm here with my good friend, JJ Madoff. How are you doing, sir? How was your week?
Not bad. The parts that I remember, actually, they went pretty well. A lot going on. I've been playing with Be My Eyes and lots of other cool stuff. And
so you,
I'm taking a week off next week, Joe. Just letting you know. After two shows.
That's, I understand you're going off for the Pro Bowl in Arizona. Yeah. I get it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Woohoo! You fared better than, say, the Green Bay Packers, I guess. Oh, sorry, Pack fans. But, if you can't make three turnovers work for you, I'm so sorry. Along with us, and probably not interested nearly as much in football, Miss Chansey Fleet. Hello, Chansey. How are you doing?
Oh, hey, sorry. I was kind of tuned out while you're going through that sports stuff. Hello.
Blah, 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 ball, blah, 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 ball.
Okay.
Oh, good. We're done. Yeah. Well, that's understandable. It is NFL fever. I mean, it's right now before the Final Four, and then baseball, where we will lose JJ for a good bit of the 2015 year. Do have that coming around the corner. Jay, you might be able to, find your seats with this really cool app that seems to have exploded since we did that interview last week. Let's talk about Be My Eyes.
Definitely the story of the week. I mean, we knew it was going to go big, but wow, it was everywhere on tons of news channels. My dad calls me up, I heard this on King Commando. Like, yep, I already know about it, but it's really cool. The app itself is claiming 55,000 sighted volunteers. Well, I guess they're all sighted. Some blind person could sign up as a volunteer if they wanted to.
I guess.
4,000 blind people. I mean, I don't know. The stats kind of just look cool, but I have seen people play with it, and it seems to work
relatively
well. Their servers
got slammed.
Yeah. Overslammed.
Recode, CNET, Leo Laporte headed on the Tech Guy, and iPad Today. I mean, wow, I have not seen so much mainstream over a blindness-related app in quite some time.
TechCrunch and Gadget were carrying it as well.
Wow. That is just insane.
So have you guys actually used it?
I don't have a reason to use it at the moment.
I've seen friends, and that's part of it. It's like, okay, how many, I can think of maybe once or twice a week where this situation really comes up, but maybe it's because I'm not used to thinking of situations where this would come up. But I have seen friends that have used it to identify manuals or like which is which, or, which freezer item am I holding or things like that. So I've seen it happen, and it's pretty much just FaceTime to a random person is what essentially it is.
Yeah.
You kind of sit there on hold. It could be, it'd be kind of cool if you were actually on hold for a while, if it could just maybe send you a notification. It plays this really monotonous little jingle over and over and over and over.
Yeah. It's a four tone, and I counted there's a little tiny pause after each nine times of the four tone.
Exactly.
So you have a long hold, you have time to figure stuff like that out.
Yep. The audio geeks tell you that it doesn't loop properly. Like, okay. Yeah, you're right.
That little tiny pause that gives you false hope that you're going to be connected.
Oh, no.
So that, well, we actually tried to use it
at
work. My coworker and I used it on a couple different occasions. We went up to the vending machine in our staff cafeteria, and we were able to get some help. The interesting thing is the person that we connected with was from Europe, so we didn't have chips. We had crisps.
That's so were they kind of just eyeing the vending machine, or were they able to tell you which letter number or whatever to press?
They were able to zoom in. They were able to give us specific information. They needed us to move the camera up, down, left, right, in very specific ways to capture different parts of the image.
Were they good at telling you the correct directions on which way to move the camera? Or?
Yes, they were good at that. Then we had one more call where we were heading out to meet somebody for coffee, and we were relatively sure we were in front of the right place, and we could have asked a person on the street, we could have hacked that situation and just asked a real life human being, but instead we tested it, and they were able to tell us that they were able to read the sign, and
that's awesome.
We were in the right place.
Can you tell me if this Uber driver looks like he's some type of criminal or not? Could you? No, wait, that would, it might be a real time use for it. You touched on it right there of, do you stop using people? I mean, I know some people are very agoraphobic and don't want to be outside in the first place, but they might also feel very uncomfortable encountering or working with others. So there might be some safety, I guess, in using this. I know there are other services out there like, well, OrCam's trying to do this. And like you said, FaceTime, people have been doing that for quite some time with family members. Mm-hmm. So this is another one of those examples of crowdsourcing that's doing extremely well. I mean, this app is on GitHub, as you heard from our previous interview with Be My Eyes. If you hadn't heard that, definitely check the last episode out in our show feed at blindbargains.com to hear that interview. But there are other crowdsourcing things out there as well. Chancey brought us a story about another crowdsourcing project.
Yeah, it's funny that a lot of these projects that are similar are appearing at the same time. I said earlier on Twitter, this maybe is the year of the helpful cloud, if it works out well. The other one is called Specular, and it's in beta right now. You can read more about that on applevis.com. And it seems from the text that's there to be kind of a similar thing, where remote workers or volunteers are connected to blind people in need of assistance, and you get visual assistance, object identification, things like that.
Kind of sounds like BizWiz, doesn't it? The way they're trying to do their approach.
I'm not sure whether it'll be live or question-based like BizWiz.
It sounds like you record, you could take a picture, record an audio question, send it off to them, and then there's kind of some back and forth. I mean, is there a point when there's too many of these? Or, I mean, I guess at this point there isn't, right? I mean, it's better than
no help. Well, I think there's a point in having a lot of them and seeing which survive. You know, that happens in mainstream technology all the time. How many email providers or blogging platforms do we have? So I guess the best infrastructure, the best publicity, the best community best will use.
And how are they going to, Be My Eyes got a grant to go through September. Are they going to get more grant money? Are they going to, I mean, there are some costs, even if they can still get enough volunteers, there's server costs and there's other things. You know, who knows what the ultimate end goal is.
Yeah, but what an outreach they can say with that number. If they can keep those numbers up, they might not have too many problems finding
it. It may not
money.
Be a problem. You have sponsored volunteers. Well, you're in front of the coffee shop. I see there's a Domino's pizza next door. I recommend them right now. They have a special going on for $6.99.
I am here to help you today, sponsored by Starbucks. No, we don't want to go into Dunkin' Donuts. No, I see something over there. Let's go there. That would be very interesting. Underwritten by Target, unless you're in Canada. So there are definitely some, well, you know, with any big project like this, there is a possibility of slowdown over time after that initial bump that happens in voluntary things. I mean, some people have said the same thing about Firefox. And so some projects take off, others, you know, you have to give it amount of time. But Salona is always that one that we come back to, isn't it?
Oh,
where,
yeah.
You know, that where was very popular. And sadly,
people got used to the service. That was the old CAPTCHA solving, human CAPTCHA solving service. And it went away and lots of people missed it.
Yeah. WebVism was another one of those things where you used other people to help you solve CAPTCHAs. So, I mean, there's been something similar to this, but it certainly didn't get the splash that this did. So maybe there's more momentum going into things.
And I think there is a place for the service. Even though, you know, usually you could ask someone in reality, or there's alternative techniques to do things. I always think about when I'm traveling, it's 3 a.m. I want to read the hotel thermostat. And yeah, I could go ahead and call down to the front desk, but I don't want that. And the other thing is, out on the street, when I ask a pedestrian for help, they're kind of somewhat in control of that interaction because they're on the street with me. They can decide I need a lot more help than I thought I was going to get. When I'm using Be My Eyes, I can control when the interaction begins and when the interaction ends. And I think that's kind of powerful and cool.
And pedestrian could also be in a hurry. I mean, you don't, you know, how do you know how much time they really have? And there are situations, you know, like right now I'm recording this from my house and no one else is here at the moment. So if I needed something, there aren't, you know, my neighbors may or may not be home. It's a lot easier. It's kind of cold outside.
You know, some data charges may apply because you've also got to worry about whether you have public Wi-Fi or 3G or 4G connections to be able to do that pretty effectively. So that might also hit people who are in rural areas who don't have, you know, good coverage, or AT&T is stronger than Verizon or vice versa, depending on some cities.
I'd like to be able to kind of give back at some point. So I was kind of brainstorming how that might go in my head. And I wondered, you know, someday will we have an opportunity to use Be My Ears and maybe help deaf people in situations where there's no interpreter. It would be cool if there were some way that we could participate in a parallel project as volunteers, because we don't want to just take. Nobody does.
Very good point. Well, there were some other things that happened on the internet this week. Windows Eyes 9, as we mentioned last week, was released. And, had a little bit of a problem going on there. We have a story up at blindbargains.com in which there was a little bit of a hack attack, Jay, from people who woke up one morning and found an interesting message showing up in their tip of the day.
So this is interesting. This, I guess, the way it happened. And to be fair to GW Micro, there's a lot of assistive technology companies with pretty weak security, and there's lots of companies in general. So this really could have happened to just about anybody. Someone pretty much got into their app system and posted a new app, which users are set by default to automatically download new apps. So they took one of the core apps, updated it, and made it so it would speak a message about Islam every 60 seconds, and also made it so you couldn't, the app wouldn't automatically update again. So definitely would freak some people out, especially if you had no idea. I mean, if that started happening to me without knowing what was going on, yeah, I would be it's a bit concerned. Not entirely sure what happened here. Someone hacked Mike Cavill's Twitter account last month and put some Islamic messages. I don't think it's really a religious hate speech thing. I think it's just a hacker trying to have some fun and perhaps going a little overboard on doing it. But it's fixed. I mean, they patched everything, and no more automatic app postings, which probably made sense.
I definitely want to come back to this in our discussion topic, where we'll get a little bit more into this, because I have some other thoughts about this as well. But definitely stay around for our wider discussion, and also stay around because we're going to give away a copy from Miss Shelley Brisbane of the new iOS Access book. She's updated it for iOS 8, as she said she would. She's got a sample chapter up there now. Follow her on Twitter. And we'll be giving away one of those to one of our lucky commenters who gave us some ideas. Oh, is it out? I thought it was out on Tuesday. Well, it'll be out by the time this is out on the web. Yep. Yeah, definitely. So definitely check out for that. And also check out that there is a new minor update for the Victor Reader Stream 2. I've seen it in action. It definitely updated the ability to download podcasts and things faster. It seems a little speedier. Did either one of you guys have a chance to check out the new update?
I've checked out the update working with patrons at the library, and I can definitely say that it seems faster copying books over from the internal memory to the SD card, which our patrons really appreciate. That's the only change that I've really noticed. I see that FLAC is supported now, which is great in theory, but it's not something that I use every day.
And then some other people are reporting that OGG is broken. So if that's something that you use, also a lesser audio format, I mean, in use, but if you use it, that might be something to be aware of as well. There's no changelog post. This is why we're kind of speculating on the new features. So I'm not sure what happened with this update and why HumanWare didn't put out a changelog, but maybe it'll come out soon.
Something like FLAC. Doesn't it play FLAC or something now, or that it did? It seems like it added another format too or something. Yeah, I agree with you. That's really strange. And definitely worth the update, though. Other than that one thing, I haven't seen too many negativities about it. And a lot of people are very happy with their Victor Reader Stream 2s. I see more people very thrilled with the purchase, and not too many people feel... Well, I mean, you see it in the classifieds. How many times have you ever seen a Victor Reader 2 come up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I see lots of Victor Reader 1s in the classifieds. I mean, if they purchase it at all, I mean, you still wonder what the sales numbers are versus the first one because of the Bard app on the iPhone now, you know, and some of the other things that are available. There's still a market for the thing. I don't think it sold 10,000 in the first few months like the first one did, but, you know, we don't know.
I see a lot of patrons who have an iPhone and a Victor 2.
Why do they? What do they say why they have both, or...?
The reasons vary. The biggest one that I hear, I don't want my battery on my iPhone to be drained down. And I just want to be more comfortable in the Victor, you know, having those physical controls feels more intuitive and feels, you know, when you're reading, when you're sleepy, when you're doing dishes or whatever and distracted, this is just the interface that people want.
Agreed. That's what I've heard from a lot of people as well. And certainly comments that I've seen before on Twitter and other places that kind of fits in along with it. But, you know, you could always try it out for 90 days. No, wait. Not the Victor Reader Stream 2. No, you could try out Jaws for 90 days to see if you like it or not. Or better yet, if you're a developer, you could actually test things with Jaws for 90 days as opposed to restarting every 40 minutes. This, when I was in my time in rehabilitation, this was one of the bigger ones. It was why we used to have to carry a dongle with us to do testing at various job sites because of the lock-ins on the time. But now this seems to be a very good move for Freedom Scientific to be able to give people some more extended time. We were talking last week about WindowWise having a 60-day evaluation copy to be very much like Zoom text. So 90 days for Jaws, a positive move?
$179 for 90 days?
I have my reservations about it.
Am I reading that right? Yeah.
You know what? I question the utility of or the wisdom of testing your product under the assumption that your target users are all going to have $1,000 to spend on a screen reader. I'm in favor of testing for the lowest common denominator. Everyone can afford NVDA. It's free. Why not test with that? I mean, I understand in, you know, government and some situations one may need JAWS, and I guess for some people in certain fields, this is a good thing, but I don't think that every developer should run right out and take advantage of this. Plus, aren't we always making changes to programs and web apps? It seems like having this 90-day license might lead to developers testing for screen reader compatibility, you know, once in a while when they can afford it. And really, it should be an ongoing process.
Yeah, you can get NVDA for free. You can get a 60-day demo of WindowWise for free. I mean, and use it for free even longer with Office if you wanted to go that route. The only case I could see perhaps is if you are rehab, you know your client needs JAWS because of scripting or whatever, but you're not entirely sure if the job that you're going to place them in is going to work out full time. So maybe in that sense, you buy the 90-day license, see if things are going to work. And then, you know, if it works a time or two, then you can go on and buy the rest of the package. That's really the only thing I can come up with. I mean, it's a bit of a cash grab. I guess it's better than no demo. That's the best thing I have to say about it.
Wow. Okay, I'll take devil's advocate. Not a great place for me to try to be, but I'll do that. It's been around for 20 years. There's the 20-year celebration video starting to come in, and there's going to be a big party for the 20th birthday of JAWS for Windows this year. So there's definitely longevity there, right? And also, it seems to hold the largest number of users, so why shouldn't I go ahead and get into this for them to test against? It seems to be a no-brainer for me as an employer because that software is used by a lot of people. ..
Not very convincing. You tried.
Oh,
you
know? Okay. Well, I tried.
It's big of you to take that route. Thank you.
Well, there are some good things out there. And I will say, if you're a 400-500 company, you have $179. If you have someone who's losing their vision, who's diabetic retinopic, and you're not sure and you're looking into it, you could do that to see if that person could do that. Now, that doesn't enter into the fact of training somebody to use it effectively or anything like that. But
you know what? I have something nice to say. It took me a minute to find it, but here it is. I think JAWS has the best Braille support. And so if you're supporting users who use Braille, either because they're deafblind or they're working with technical material or in a call center, it's totally legitimate to test for that because I can't think of any screen reader that does a better job with Braille.
Maybe VoiceOver with the way that you can just plug in some Braille displays and they just show up. But again, you'd have to be a Mac shop. So, I mean, that's part of that right there. Definitely, though, if you are a big fan of JAWS and you have something to share, check the show notes out because we have a link to be able to send that information to Freedom Scientific. We're looking for more stories about the 20 years of JAWS and how it's helped money, other right? individuals.
I believe they're paying for that. If your story is like chosen to be in their video, you get it.
You win SMA count.
Oh, an SMA. Okay. Well,
it's as good as cash.
You get something.
Right. And I think that's good. I think that's really, really cool, though. I mean, if you're already a big fan of JAWS, chances are you would really like to have that anyway. So that works out really nice for those individuals. I mean, it's not like they're playing, I don't know, Super Liam.
Why not? You could do both. Actually, no, you can't. You have to unload JAWS to play those games.
True. But you could play it for free.
That's true. So Super Liam from Liam Irvin, obviously, because he, you know, who else can you make a game named after yourself? That's always fun. I guess a little privilege there. But he's released it for free. This came out about 10 years ago, so it's run its course by now. So if you want to play what pretty much was one of the first accessible, if not the first accessible side-scroller game, it's a cool little waste of time. And it was, you know, it was pretty well, you know, professional audio tracks. A bunch of people did the audio tracks on the game. A bunch of the blind musicians, Kevin Reeves and David Fabrile, Clarence Griffin, all did the audio on that. And you can go get the game now. It's free. And he's going to release some of his other older titles for free as well. And it should work on most Windows' thingies, XP7, probably 8. So you can we've linked to it. And you can.
Does he have any new titles coming out?
He says he has something coming up soon.
Yeah, well, you can get Super Egg Hunt now. We saw that at AT Guys. That's just a little kind of time waster thing. That's kind of cool. And he's been kind of working on and off on some other stuff. I think we'll have him on the show one of these days.
You get audio archery for either iOS or Android.
Is that still out?
Yeah, as far as I know. I mean,
isn't that one of those where you have to wave your phone?
No. You pull your finger back on the screen.
I'm thinking of audio ping pong.
No.
Audio invaders.
Yeah, no. Audio archery is the sound that goes back and forth in headphones, and then you fire it to be able to hit the bullseye. It works pretty well on Android as well as iOS. I have both versions. And speaking of other platforms, RS Games has an update for the Mac. Definitely one of those things you want to check out. They've done some amazing updates over there.
It's a little bug fix thing.
Yeah, I think it's important out there because a lot of people ask about Mac gaming and what, you know, is there other things out there? So it's neat that they have a client for the Mac and definitely worth checking out.
I've heard
out
of the stories of blind people, a whole bunch of blind people sitting in a room playing the RS version of Cards Against Humanity, which is a fun little adult party game. You can, if you want a way to do that inaccessibly, that might be an interesting way to do it. Now that's an adult game, but there's other ones on RS Games as well.
Tons of availability, and you could do that while chatting with other friends. You could do that while using TeamTalk 5.0.037.67 RC1.
Wait, did you get all those numbers?
Yeah. I actually read it three times while you guys were talking to make sure that I had it down that it was 5.0.0.37.67 RC1. And I must have gotten it right because Patrick didn't come in and change anything or say anything.
To be completely honest, I don't have anything to say about that because I haven't used it yet.
Oh, okay.
it's the release candidate. So pretty much this is going to be the final version, but we want you to make sure that there's nothing totally broken. But they've added a whole bunch of user controls. If you use voice chat a lot, there's a new audio system called Opus. And there's a whole bunch of more granular user controls. Like you can give certain users rights to do certain things. I haven't played with it a lot yet either, but I'm sure eventually we'll move to it. And
Yeah, because we won't have to do a lot of conversion anymore from one old format to another. It actually is have something that's a little bit more audio friendly for the fantastic audio producer who just chimed in a moment ago. And that is always a good thing. And it's certainly better than, you know, things talking out of turn. InVision America is on a roll. InVision America has been seeing all sorts of people taking up the talking prescriptions, Walgreens and CVS. Now it looks like Walmart for their mail deliveries of prescription are going to take this on. That is huge. I've talked to David before about this, and what they're really waiting on is hopefully Apple will open up the NFC on the iDevices, and that'll be gigantic for those guys. Definitely going to be, and Apple has said that eventually, like other things that have come through, that they could see themselves at one day opening up NFC, just like they did the camera eventually. So that is going to open up a lot of things for a lot of people.
Because the NFC, like you can take and the way I understand it, you talked to Dave about this, Chancey. You can take the NFC tags. Yeah, a couple of times, yeah. Well, you talked to him, Chancey talked to him, everyone apparently is talking to him.
I think the InVision America product uses RFID, right?
Yes, a little bit of both, but it can also use some NFC stuff.
It uses NFC because there's a free Android app.
Yep.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take the script talk labels and put it, you know, next to your phone, and theoretically,
Don't necessarily need a separate base station if you're traveling and you've got a lot of different things to manage. If you've got an Android device,
With
NFC enabled,
a big if for blind people, but that is a yes.
Yeah.
So it's really great that there seems to be more and more universal coverage with all these major retailers offering different accessible methods for prescriptions. It feels like this is one of the areas where we've come super far in just 2 or 3 years. A lot of market penetration, a lot of availability, especially since it's available by mail.
And like the Victor Reader Stream, some people don't feel comfortable using an iDevice. So the ID Mate, or excuse me, that tells you how old I am. The ID Quest, having an update. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm still the ID Mate. And then there was the one before the Quest. I've used Omni. Wasn't it
so the ID Omni? So how to do this? No. All right. So you have ID Mate, then ID Mate 2, then Omni, then Summit. Okay. This is going to be on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. place these versions of the ID Mate in order.
Yep.
Omni.
The Quest Summit, being the newest. Quest.
And, like, how do you top the Summit? Yeah, there's a little update for the Quest. They added a couple of things that I do have to admit in passing that are two features that our BC Scan product does. But that's cool to see it. That being sharing of barcode data back with Envision. And also a history feature where you can go back and look at the last 30 barcodes that are scanned. So both very, you know, useful little things that were added in a free update. Now, they had a change log, but some people are trying to figure out how to use the new features. So I don't know. I guess for people are so there's no documentation yet, but maybe it'll come out. I'm sure they're usually really responsive, so I'm sure that'll come out pretty quickly on how that actually works.
And those units are really durable. I've enjoyed using them over the years, the different ones.
Drop test them.
Yeah, I've enjoyed that, and good support from my Envision America, so I think that's always interesting. We usually see them at CSUN, so I'm not sure if they'll be at ATIA, but if they are, then we'll probably learn more about things there when you're winging your way there, Mr. Middle.
Yes.
And coming around the corner, as we're turning around on the news here, we talked a little bit about Android just a moment ago. You know what you could do now? You could really freak your friends out at parties. You want to get them really interested in Android. You want to get that iPhone user over to your camp. You want to surprise them or fool them or really just surprise them. Now you can get Vocalizer on your Android. Code Factory has released for a fairly nice price. What, $3.99?
$3.99 a voice.
Yeah, the ability to use Vocalizer on Android devices. I am really impressed by that, considering that some voices do cost a little more. And quality, very good. And I've seen a lot of people say that the interrupt and the speed is pretty good. What do you think, Jay?
The speed is fast. It's a little less responsive than Eloquence, but it ain't painfully unresponsive. Chancey might beg to differ, even when she was playing with my phone with Eloquence and said it wasn't responsive enough. So, you know, everyone is different.
Very sensitive about my voices. Now, how granular is the speed control for the Vocalizer voices? Or is that something that
you can
depends?
Override it? Yeah. So just like Eloquence, you can override because Android's default granularity is 9 choices, which isn't enough. Mm-hmm. And with Eloquence and Vocalizer, they have from 0 to 100% and 5% increments. So that's all doable. I recorded a little demo on this, and we'll play that a little later in the podcast and actually show how you change that. And see, pretty much Vocalizer has a whole bunch of settings, though, and you can make it go pretty, pretty fast as far as, you know, for $3.99 a voice. You know, I bought Heather. That's probably all I'll buy. I don't really need a million different voices, but it's a good option, at least.
She's
I don't
know no if I'd, Will from afar.
There's that. I think I'm sticking with Eloquence. Because it's a little more responsive, but choice. It still ain't bad. Yeah.
Choice.
It's interesting
total
that
choice.
The Vocalizer voices came to Android just a few months after some iPhone users started migrating away from them to Alex.
Yeah.
Man, you know, and I like Alex, but he can be a battery drain on some devices. It's just, that's totally, totally anecdotal, but on older devices, I find that Alex can just eat battery like it's going out of style. Now, with that said, there's a lot of other Apple news going around. We do have a link up at blindbargains.com. Once a week, I'm doing a column that has a bunch of Apple news, such as the rumor / probably fact, but we can't say for sure until it ships, about the Apple Watch having a companion app that works with VoiceOver. While that is out there, and a lot of people have asked us a lot about it, it's hard to talk about Apple until the thing is out there and you can see how it works and what the UI is. And just because it has VoiceOver, there's no telling how things are going to work, because one of the commands in the Apple Watch I mean, from the demo, was triple tap the faceplate. So again, that's nice that it has voiceover, but we don't know what that means yet. So definitely check out the article that we have at blindbargains.com and check it out each week. We give a rundown of some of the big Apple stories of the week and other things that are going on in the forum. You can actually use the iOS app as well as the Android app of Google Translate. It is using a product that Google got a hold of a long time ago called Word Lens. And Word Lens is for grabbing real-time images of text and signs and documents. And now what it will do is it'll do real-time translation of signs and documents and add some text-to-speech, which had kind of disappeared from Google Translate for a little bit on iOS, Chansey was saying. The update, as of an article on January 15th that I saw over at Engadget and one over at CNET, says that some of that has come back. I've not used it myself yet, but the good thing about Google Translate is that it's free and you can try it out on different things yourself. So there's an opportunity there to be able to see, well, maybe you're in a high school French class and you're kind of needing some help, maybe, to see how that works. We've talked about Translate a couple of times. I think Anna... Access Anna was a big fan of Translate, and she would know since she teaches Spanish.
Except it's accessible, and it's probably
I don't have too much call for it. Chansey, you might, where you work, there might be an opportunity there, I would think, huh?
We absolutely do. So we do Spanish language training and technical support on a limited basis, but we have such a diverse user base. We have people coming in speaking a lot of French, a lot of Spanish, but also other languages. And I have used Google Translate on numerous occasions to look up and get across a concept that's important or just get across key messages. Now, it's not like Star Trek. It's not a universal translator. It doesn't produce a conversation that's fluid and flows quite yet. Hopefully, that's the direction that we're headed in. But it does elevate me from having no communication ability to having the ability to communicate critical basic things like directions, when someone who speaks the right language is going to be in, answering basic questions, things like that.
You using the Google Translate app currently? Like you just go into the Google, do you use the search app or do you actually go in the Translate app and to do phrases or why do you do it?
I use the Google Translate app for iOS because it gives me the ability to type something in. I usually prefer to do that on my Braille display and then have it voiced in the destination language. So a very clear female voice, for example, will read out in French and I'm able to tell someone, you know, the double tap that you're trying is too fast. You need to slow down or you need to speed up.
And would you have them type back to you?
I haven't yet, only because most of the patrons that I'm working with where I need to communicate basic things like that are not super comfortable with the iPhone. So, gotcha. You know, I'm really looking forward to a time when we can do voice to voice in both directions, because the barrier right now is I can talk as much as I want, but the person on the other end may or may not have the technical proficiency to respond back. So it's not the greatest conversation.
It's almost like using TTY in a way.
Yeah, yeah, a way. It feels like that.
Over.
But I, yeah.
Sorry.
My frustration with the Google Translate app so far has been, I think, I don't know when they snuck it in, but text-to-speech output was limited to 100 characters or less. And I just found that out by accident one day trying to use it and wow. being blocked. Wow. And I thought, ouch, and it really cramped my style. So I'm hoping that this update addresses that because I'm not someone that can usually restrict myself to 100 characters or less.
It's less than 3 pages. And that was our unbelievable barrier of the week last week was three pages.
Microsoft's, the Office reader thing, only does 3 pages. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. This, you know, barriers that are not necessary. I don't get it. I also don't get makeup, but you know.
I'm not just visually impaired. I'm style impaired.
I have to say, I don't get makeup either, but a lot of the style experts over on the BBC Ouch blog got into the topic last week and talked about different non-visual techniques for applying makeup. Keep it simple, consistency, taking advantage of your sense of touch, using different sorts of brushes, and lots of practice. They featured Christine Ha, they featured a style expert named Kara, and most of the advice seemed really sound and sensible, except for the line that just casually mentioned that since eyeliner is so hard to apply, Some people who are visually impaired just go ahead and get it permanently tattooed.
How do you permanently tattoo?
Does it come in a combo? Can you get your girlfriend's name or boyfriend's name tattooed to your arm at the same time? I'd like a mermaid on my back, and then I would like this eyeliner here. I want to look like Marilyn Manson.
You know, if you're
going to
make one bad decision, why not make two? I agree with you.
There's that.
Go for broke.
I guess putting on makeup is more difficult than styling hair. I mean, that's the closest thing I can come up with. But styling hair usually isn't. I mean, unless you're going for some crazy do, putting in random hair gel or whatever.
Truly a cosplayer and going for that cos look one way or another. I mean, that's, you know, you're going to a sci-fi convention, so you want to look completely like that character. I guess. I agree with you. I know Fashionability on Twitter was all over this Laura Legendary and
her
show.
This is good, though. We don't, like, you know, there's not enough attention given to blind people in fashion, and there should be.
That's
true. You know, I've heard people make the comments like, well, my wife is blind too, so, you know, it doesn't matter how I look. Like, okay. I mean, it seems to me
there's this wonderful store in the mall called the Black and White Store, and I find that everything goes with everything, and it's awesome because it's either going to be black or white. But then again, I worked in radio, so for me, blue jeans and a concert shirt was the average uniform of choice working in radio back then. So again, I point to the fact that I have very little understanding of the concept of style.
We'll have to get a fashion expert on at some point, and maybe we can get people sending questions for that, and that could be some fun.
This will be our YouTube segment coming to Blind Bargains, in which we will embarrass ourselves very hugely.
Do like the little fashion runway thing.
That's right, a makeover.
I'm going to be a fashion runaway if I'm anywhere near that.
I'm going to be a fashion disaster more than likely.
Speaking of things that are kind of fashionable, I guess, but in a different way. That's really a bad segue, but I'm just going to go with it anyway. If you haven't tried selling your old stuff or things that you don't need anymore, you might go out and check out the Blind Bargains Classifieds, where you can sell an array of everything from, I see people selling their assistive technology. We mentioned people selling their old Victor streams. Or if you offer a service, say you say you are a translator, or you offer writing, or you give fashion advice over Skype, who knows? I mean, there's lots of different things that you could do. You can list a classified on Blind Bargains for just $5, and you can kind of get some simple distribution for your message. It'll go out on a Twitter post. It'll go out in our email newsletter. It'll get posted on our apps, and it will stay up on the website and the apps for about 30 days. So if you have something you want to tell people about, or if you have extra things in your closet that you just want to try to get rid of and sell them and see if somebody wants them, just $5. You might as well give it a shot. Go to blindbargains.com and click on Classifieds to check it out.
Now, cheaper than $5 is Heather, $3.99, as we were talking about just a moment ago. She's one of the new vocalizer voices from Android. And coming up after this small little break, JJ will be doing a demonstration of said vocalizer voice. And then coming after that break, we're going to get into some heady discussion topics and some really good ones. Just to give you kind of an advance warning, it might get a little heated in the case of, well, you should stay tuned. All this and more on the show that shall be named later on Blind Bargains Audio.
One of the cooler things about Android is that you can use different text-to-speech voices. What maybe you've heard of acapella voices or Ivona or the eSpeak voices or Eloquence. All those are available on Android. And now the latest from Code Factory is the vocalizer voices. You've heard of the vocalizer voices probably on an iPhone or on another device. And now they're available on the Android as well. So let me show you a little bit of how that works on Android.
Voicemail.
So we're going to
vocalizer voices.
Open up the vocalizer app.
Alert, please wait connecting to server. Vocalizer voices. Alert, vocalizer TTS. Vocalizer is not the default TTS on your system. Do you want to select it as the default TTS? No, yes.
So obviously you're hearing Eloquence at the moment, so vocalizer is not the default, and it notices that, so it's going to ask me if I want to do that, and we will go in and do that.
Vocalize, no button, yes button, text to speech options.
And there's a text to speech options on Android, so I'm going to select
which English?
Vocalizer? No, not which English.
Open
that
text
would be amusing.
Speech. Checked. Radio. But ETI. Open. Not checked. Radio. Vocalizer. Not checked. Rate. Alert. Attention. This speech synthesis.
And
engine
we will confirm
attention.
That's what we
this
want to
speech.
Do.
Cancel. Okay. Button.
And I've already opened
text
the app.
Text to speech options.
And downloaded
using vocalizer TTS.
A voice. So as you can hear, we have the familiar Samantha there. There's our voice, and I've already downloaded it, and it's on my phone, so it switched right to the vocalizer voice. Obviously, you'd want to make sure you have a voice set up first before you go ahead and do that.
So let's go back into the Vocalizer app.
Vocalizer voice.
And see what
alert,
we have now.
Please wait. Connecting to server. Vocalizer voices.
Vocalizer voices. So now we're on the main voices. Screen here.
Settings button.
Settings, we'll show you that just in a minute.
About button. U.S. English.
So here are the different languages.
Arabic.
And there is more than 40 languages and more than 80 voices, according to Code Factory.
U.S.
So
English.
So we can go to English.
U.S. English. Listen to a sample button. U.S. English. Samantha.
There's
Compact
Samantha.
P1. 4.0. Default voice.
And it's default.
Listen to
and
a delete voice data button.
Already have it.
U.S.
You
English.
You can tell by
Allison,
it said
delete. $3.99.
See, that one says $3.99. So the Samantha, you can tell it's already downloaded. And I can delete the voice data if I want. There's another voice, Allison. It's $3.99. I don't remember what Allison sounds like.
Listen to a sample button.
So we can do this.
U.S. English.
Hello,
Allison.
How are you doing?
$3.99.
Here I am to be the voice of anything you can think of.
Bit of an overlap there. Maybe that's something they can address. But there you go. You can hear the sample of Allison as a voice. And I could buy it for $3.99.
Listen to a sample. Purchase
so
voice
choose.
Button.
And there's the purchase button. If I wanted to do that, of course, it'd go straight to my account, my Google Play account, if I wanted to purchase that. I'm not going to demo that because I do not need another voice at the moment. So different
US
languages.
English. Showing items 1 to 9 of 44.
And there you go. Even the nice little pitch change thing, which I think I would turn off. Let's go into settings.
About settings. Settings.
Those of you who have had Eloquence might be used to some of this.
Settings. Voice. Header. Force pitch
first,
settings.
A whole bunch of...
Force speech rate.
Voice settings.
Force vocalizer TTS speech rate over application speech rate. Check.
Now, why
check
would you
box.
Do that? And why did I do that? That's because there are lots of different speech rates available here. On Android, by default, there's only 9. From slow, slower, to fast, fast is rapid. Very rapid. But 9 is really not granular enough for a lot of people. So,
speech rate.
Check that
alert
box.
Speech rate. Cancel.
And you can go
showing items
anywhere
one,
from
check. 15% normal.
15%, which is the default.
Not checked. Not checked. 35.
We can go
not,
faster.
Not checked. 55%.
Let's try that.
Settings. Voice.
There's
header.
55%.
Force pitch. Disabled. Force speech rate. Force speech rate.
Let's go all the way up to 100 rate, and show you what that 40%. Might sound like.
Not check. Not check. Not check. Not check. 90%. Not check. Not check. 100%.
Here's 100%.
Voice header. Force settings. Force vocalizer TTS speech settings over application speech rate.
That's pretty fast.
Pitch disabled. Force speech rate. Force vocalizer TTS speech rate over application speech rate. Check. Checkbox.
There you go. And of course, you can go anywhere in 5% increments. Let me go put it back to something normal so we can do the rest of the demo here.
Not check. 20%. Not check. 35%. Settings.
35%.
Voice header.
Now there's some other settings here. You can do the same thing with pitch. You can do a custom pitch if you wish.
Force volume. Force vocal.
Or volume. If you want it to be quieter, say,
volume.
Then...
disabled. General. Header.
The system volume. I normally wouldn't do that.
Emoji slash emoticon. Checked.
Do
checkbox.
You want emoji written? Red? Sure.
Settings. Process punctuation. Checked. Checkbox.
So yes, you have your own punctuation setting here. That's not in the regular Android settings, but you can do it here, just like you can for Eloquence. You can do some, most, all, or none.
Punctuation. Use number processing. Not check.
There's
checkbox.
There's various ways to do number processing, digits, pairs, triplets, etc.
Number processing.
I just leave it off. Let the system do it.
User dictionary. Header.
And the user dictionary. Very useful to have to do a user dictionary. Be able to add your own words. You can import.
Enable user dictionary. Add word. Add a new word list. View all the. Import dictionary file. Import an already existing user dictionary.
And if it's like Eloquence, which I believe it is, it uses the same format as the JAWS dictionary, so you can kind of go between them if you so wish.
Export dictionary file.
Or export it and share it with somebody else.
Advanced. Header. Force language. Selected language will always be used, regardless of system settings. Check. Checkbox.
Now, force language is interesting. Say you want to make Vocalizer your book voice and just have it just be in Spanish. You could do that, and then as soon as you select Vocalizer, then it would automatically go into the language that you wanted. So that's one way to do that.
Language. U.S. English.
And that would be the language that you would force it to.
Use alternative TTS. Alternative TTS will be used if no Vocalizer voice is available for the selected language. Check.
So what it's saying is this is the voice that will be used if Vocalizer for some reason crashes. Now, I would have this on by default, and it did not come on by default. I checked it right away because I didn't want to have a situation where you had no text-to-speech at all.
Use alternative TTS. Samsung text-to-speech engine.
So I set my Samsung text-to-speech engine as a default.
Download only over Wi-Fi. Not checked. Checkbox.
That might be good to do if you're doing lots of voices, to download the voices only over a Wi-Fi connection. That might be one option that you'd want to check.
About, header.
And, of course, about and version information. So the voices are $3.99 a piece, so you can get them right from the app. The app itself is free, so what you do is you go to Google Play, you download the app, and then you can browse through and listen to the voices that you want and download one voice or several voices or whatever you want. So very similar setup to Acapella, and the app is very similar to Eloquence. So if you like what Code Factory did with Eloquence, which I do, I think you might like this as well. They put a lot of attention to detail into this. Did a really good job with the Vocalizer voices, which you can now have. The only way you could have them before on Android was to use the mobile accessibility suite, which not everyone wanted to do that. So there you have it. The Vocalizer voices on Android. We'll link to them from blindbargains.com, and you can go check them out.
Welcome back, everyone, to Blind Bargains something or other show naming. Well, we've got some suggestions at the bottom of the show, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. And also, you can find out about how you could win a copy of Shelley Brisbane's updated book for iOS 8. And it's a pretty good book, I know, because I've seen her other work, and a big fan of Shelley. But we need names, and so think about that during our discussion topic. The week had some amazing stories, some of them just too big for us to talk about in the news rundown. One of them, of course, being the WindowEyes story. You know, there's a lot of things that I have seen when working with major corporations to try and get blind people hired. And one of the things that I saw in the 2000 and aughts was that software, you know, even before now, before we had all these crazy things with Sony and all the other crazy hacks that are going on, software was getting locked down pretty hard. And the way that some assistive technology works is literally, well, in the old days, it was like a stay resident virus program. It was really tricking the computer to do things that it really wasn't meant to do or shouldn't do to be able to give us access. And that could be hooking the video. It could be rerouting things. It could be, you know, some didn't like magnification. Some didn't like speech. It just depended on how judicious or not the administrator was for that particular company. Fortune 500 companies have some other things that you would run into. Like if I worked with an oil company, there might be things with Homeland Security and other doctrine that they have to follow as a part of being that company under Homeland Security and the like. So some software took a while to sort of figure out how you could make it run. The banking industry, another big one that was really hard to do because screen readers would have problems either grabbing parts of the screen, or there were some things that were not designed for you to grab because they didn't want anybody cut copying and pasting banking material. So is it time, guys, that AT grow into more of a traditional IT model? Do more assistive technology companies have to think about security and locking their products down or working within the confines? Because, I mean, every other day on Twitter, I see, well, the so-and-so screen reader isn't working with malware bytes, or antivirus has flagged my screen magnifier. What do we think?
So there's a lot of ways to take this. And I don't think, you know, AT companies aren't the only ones guilty here, but definitely I'm not surprised that this has happened now to a couple of different AT companies getting hacked in various nefarious ways. And, you know, these are not, I mean, they're kind of creative hacks, but still mostly simple, just involving somebody's username and password. It probably is what mostly happened. And once you get into someone's account, it's very easy to do things. I don't think it, you know, there definitely needs to be more attention. This would definitely be the time, if you are an AT company, to kind of look over your security. What are your users allowed to do? And what are your users allowed to do without us approving of it? On Blind Bargains, when it comes to classifieds and comments and things, you know, they're pretty much moderated until they go out, unless it's from, you know, a few trusted users. And still we have final control over what goes out. You know, I don't even think Joe can post things to the main page at this point, you know. So maybe we'll keep it that way.
Uh-huh. No, I'm fine with this. I'm totally cool with this. I like vetting. Vetting is good.
But it's definitely, it's not just an AT problem, but it is an AT problem, and not one that should be ignored. And I mean, you look at the various, as more and more programs and apps use online access for some of their support or some of their, you know, their back end,
you know, the more we need to, you know, take advantage of these things. Used to live on clouds on their own little computers, so it wasn't as big of a deal, and it would probably harder to do. But now it's definitely a much bigger deal. And, you know, one bad impression, people will remember this. There will be some people that will remember these hacks, and they'll never try the product just because of that one incident.
Chansey, assistive technology is coming inside operating systems. Let's look at VoiceOver, for instance. Is that a better way or possible better fit for things for, let's say, getting a job? Because if you, you know, have a system that's using Macs and Macs are approved on the network and Macs and VoiceOver work with the software, well, maybe that's the way around it. Is that the way we should look at things? And just, you know, VoiceOver is so deep in the system, either, you know, it's safe or the whole operating system is compromised if VoiceOver goes down.
I'm not sure that it actually is. Operating system developers themselves have all kinds of hacks and exploitations happen. So it's not a problem that I think one solves by moving to tools that are embedded in the operating system. You know, I don't know. I guess from a social perspective, that might solve the problem from a policy perspective. But in reality, threats can come from the inside as easily as they can come from a third-party developer. What I do think is that AT developers need to, as you said, have more of an awareness of what their software is capable of and what loopholes exist. And as much as it's terrible that this WindowEyes hack happened, we're fortunate in a way because it was very high profile. It was very immediately obvious. It brought the issue to a lot of folks' attention, and the company responded immediately and has said, which I believe, that they're going to take it very seriously. And we're lucky that it was a trivial and loud attack that made us all realize that, okay, the repository for apps that developers can contribute to has some huge security flaws. I'm not really sure what else apps in App Central are or would be empowered to do. You know, do they have access to my clipboard? Do they have access to my keystrokes? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. But now you all could, these questions are definitely going to be asked.
You certainly, I mean, you could have done a lot worse. Like, you know, the apps are built on Visual Basic or whatever. And, you know, without saying too much, I mean, yeah, I mean, an app that's not approved is not a good idea. So them going to a moderated system makes sense. I mean, to be perfectly honest, someone could hack into, you know, suppose someone hacked into our Google account and posted a new version of the Blind Bargains app with just some really bad code in it. Google doesn't usually approve these things. It would just kind of go out and anyone who auto-updated would get it. So, I mean, it could happen to pretty much the same thing. And so you just kind of need to, you know, there's the situation where the app approval process wins out. And you know, anyone
Apple this Christmas actually had an app go out because the developers had timed it that they knew when Apple would go on holiday vacation, and they put a Super Nintendo emulator in this calculator type app, and it was out there for several days because there wasn't anybody there to go and pull the plug on it. So people are getting smart on how to play the App Store game, whether it be on one platform or another. And then there are some people who don't read these things. So there was somebody who wrote the other day that would take, you know, 7 to 16 days of your life to read all the terms of service that you come across in a given week. And, you know, if you turn on or off TalkBack in Android, you'll see that wonderful dialog box that says that, you know, this app has the ability to read confidential information and da 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 da. Are you okay with that? And, you know, I know what TalkBack is, so of course I click okay. But to someone who's new, someone who's not very computer literate, that might scare them for a little bit. And really what it basically means is that it's asking if it can read things that you might have in your Gmail or something aloud and other people might hear. It would be even weirder if you had that at the very beginning of, say, an Apple when you turn on screen curtain or turn off screen curtain. So, I mean, a lot of it is it hokery pokery? Is it boogeyman around the corner? Or is there something really serious here that we have to worry about?
I think it's very real. I think that the average person doesn't usually think, even the average power user doesn't usually think enough about potential security risks. You know, I'll just be real. I downloaded WindowEyes 9 because I want to stay up on all the screen readers that are out there. And I've checked the box that said I read the terms of service. I didn't go through them, and I certainly didn't know that I was empowering third-party developers to automatically update apps, and I might not know what each app had the power to do. That, like, there was no part of me that knew that.
Well, to be fair, so the app that was hacked was a GW Micro app or AI Squared app. Now, there's no third-party apps installed unless you were to install one yourself. But if you do install one, then usually by default, auto updates are on. So it's kind of like on the iPhone.
Developers can modify the GW Micro apps?
No. Well, no, that's the thing. No, someone had... They aren't supposed to. No, someone logged in to a GW Micro AI Squared account, posted an update as if they were a staff member of. That's why... That's how it got through.
Wow.
So if it's a core app. It was a core app that every Windows user gets by default, because, you know, it's pretty much like, you know, the guts, you know, like the Windows Explorer of Windows apps, you know. And so that's how it got to... And you're right. You're lucky. Maybe that was the hacker's goal. It's like, hey, I don't really want to mess things up. I don't want to, like, break everyone's computer, but I do really want this issue
draw
to be
attention.
Out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows if they tried to contact anyone ahead of time or whatever, but it's like, hey, no, they definitely found a loophole. And
zero day flaws in my assistive technology. There's a scary thought. Wow. Well, and, you know, there's going to be some out there on Twitter, and I'm going to go ahead and go here to get to this before somebody calls me out on it. What about NVDA and, say, peer review? How comfortable do we feel that third-party extensions and NVDA as open source as it is? Is it being constantly monitored by those hacktivists and activists who use it regularly, and do we feel good about that?
I think it depends where you get your extension from, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A little, I mean, I think the difference is the WindowEyes apps were posted on the WindowEyes app store, for lack of a better term. If you're downloading an NVDA add-on and you're downloading it from Joe's add-on page.com, then, you know, you should probably do a little extra, this guy actually reputable or not? So there's probably where the difference lies. I think it's a little more akin just to downloading a Firefox extension from some random person and seeing, you know, this may or may not work.
Or, say, jailbreaking or custom ROMing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you take the good, you take the bad, and you make the best choices you can, and definitely keep reading and listening to your friends, because that'll help you a great deal too. Remember, friends are your best taste makers.
And maybe you go into WindowEyes at this point and turn off auto apt updates.
There's possibly that too.
You don't, you know, it might be something. I do that, but I do that for everything. I don't like things updating until I tell them to, because that's just how I am.
Yeah. Especially in your mobile devices, if you have a metered billing or a data.
Well, there's that, and there's apps breaking accessibility and all the. I mean, I don't expect WindowEyes to break accessibility, but, you know, yeah. I mean,
if you notice some negative outcomes because of updates, and you know the last thing you updated, it's a heck of a lot easier to go back and figure out what went wrong than if you just let updates run anytime they feel like it.
So if we didn't have enough controversy as it was, I'm going to go ahead and go into this next topic. There was a lot of discussion this week about blindfolds, and that blindfold training might not necessarily help as much as some people had believed, or in some cases, it actually hurt people's feelings or understanding about blind people by reinforcing negative or harmful thoughts about what it's like to be blind. I have some personal experience here, so I'm going to let the group go first, and then I'll weigh in towards the back end. But there are two articles here that are going to be in the show notes. This, almost as much as Be My Eyes, rolled around my Twitter feed and Facebook feed pretty quickly, both from sighted and blind people I know. Certainly there has been a big feeling about one of the organizations that blindfold training is essential in order for some people to understand what it's like to be blind as a sighted person, to have a better understanding, if not compassion, for what that individual is going through. Where do you guys feel about blindfold training, and does it affect, if someone has done it, does it affect your opinion of them?
I think there's a big difference between blindfold training that's for sighted people to quote unquote raise empathy, that's of short duration, a sensitivity exercise, if you will, and blindfold training that one engages in as a sighted person, a partially sighted person, or a blind person over a long period of time to gain proficiency in alternative techniques. There are two different goals, and when you're doing a sensitivity exercise, it's a short thing, maybe an hour, probably less. If you're developing non-visual techniques, it's something that you do over the period of days, weeks, or months. So I think the study that just came out that Ariel Silverman did talks about sensitivity exercises and the fact that if you wear a blindfold for a short duration, you're going to anticipate that blindness is actually more of a problem and creates more barriers than if you don't have that experience. And to me, it makes sense because when I first try a new thing, I initially find it hard. So for example, my friend Wale is on crutches right now because he broke his ankle. So we all had a great time last week trying the crutches. And I said, oh my gosh, this is impossible. You know, in my brain, I thought there's no way I would ever take the subway with crutches. There's no way I would go to the bodega. I would just be using Grubhub all the time. That would be all. But that's because I'm in that acute phase of being bad at it that comes when you start out.
And they did this research study, right? Okay, they blindfolded people and gave them tasks. You know, it's like whatever you – there's always a farce when you do this. We're going to blindfold you and we're going to have you eat spaghetti. That's like the first thing they'll give you. You know, like,
oh,
you know,
dude, it's not even no. I've actually seen people who went the other way. So they would sit in a room and listen to an audio-described movie and eat pizza. And I was like, that's not realistic. Let's get them all dressed up in white. Give them pizza and peas and let me bring in Terminator 2 Undescribed. You know, let's just make this realistic.
CAPTCHAs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, something, okay. I think there's other ways to, yeah, if you have the short, how do you want to make someone feel, you know, live a day in my shoes type thing. I don't think blindfolding is, I'm more like the, here's this computer, you know, I'm going to take away your mouse, you know, things like that.
Right. Or turn off your monitor.
Yeah, turn off your monitor. I mean, this, and it depends. Yeah, I'm not going for the shock factor. It's right. The really short bursts of quote unquote sensitivity training, which I don't want you to be more sensitive to blind people anyway. I want you just to understand blind people. But I agree. I'm not a fan of the short form blindfolding experiment. I would much rather see, you know, they use it for training for rehab counselors. They'll have them be blindfolded for a week or two. That's better. At least it's not short form, but they can still take their blindfold off at night. So they can always look forward to that. And so it's still not entirely, I mean, I guess it's probably as good as you're going to get, but it kind of depends on what you have people doing.
So hopefully in this future, there'll be more studies about effects specific to duration and how much is enough to get past that initial fear factor and automatic kind of having low expectations. How long does it take until some real learning sets in?
So it's a little different if you're partial, and Chansey, you might jump on me here a little bit here, but with some low vision individuals, especially those that are more on the low than high vision sector, especially on that scale. So, you know, most of your people who are, let's say in the 2200 range are not going to have this as much, but those under 2200 and lower develop sort of non-visual techniques on their own to kind of cope with things, especially if they have like nystagmus or they have floaters or some other forms of vision that cause vision not to be stable. And by that, I mean, you see really good one day and the next day you see really bad and the next day you might see good again. Blindfolding can actually mess with those kind of inherent ways that the brain reroutes itself to kind of deal with the world. And it can actually cause more problems because it can actually cause confusion on how people are going to try and still rely on their vision as opposed to rely on no vision. Now, for people who are progressive, say glaucoma or diabetic retinopathy or certain types of macular degeneration, it's probably still best for those individuals to go ahead and experience as much blindfold as they can because sadly they may lose all their vision and it's better to have some life skills than none. But for people who have levers or other types of vision problems that will not change, it actually can do severe damage to the way that they approach mobility. And this is where it gets really kind of creepy for me because I've seen this with individuals. I've experienced it with individuals. I came from the state of Texas and the Vision for Blind Services has blindfold training. And they do require that of new people that come to the agency. And they even have refresher training for those who want it. And I've seen counselors misunderstand the purpose of training. And I've seen partial individuals lose a little bit of their ability to maneuver with blindfold training because 2 weeks is kind of okay. I see that. But when you get into 4 or 6 weeks beyond that, that's a bit much. You're actually starting to really alter someone's perceptions on how they interact with things. And that can be very damaging. And so I'm not a big fan of the longer term blindfold training, unless, again, it's somebody who's going through a program and somebody who is definitely going to have some vision loss, then yes, that's have as much exposure. Now, I say that having one eye, my right eye is prosthetic, and that every time I had an operation on my eye, and I've had over 70, I experienced total blindness. Wow. And so I had to learn a lot of non-visual techniques. And I ended up actually having some issues with total blindness because I kept going in and out of it. And that's my own personal thing. I think I should vent that very quickly so people get an idea of that. But that doesn't necessarily affect what I've seen. Now, to the counselor portion, let me get this and I'll turn it back over to the panel. Chancey, I've seen what you've seen where somebody has used this, and then to what Jay was saying, they take the blindfold off at night. I walked out of my office one day and it was 5 o'clock and I was working my way to the bus, and this counselor took his blindfold off and went, "Whew, man, I'm glad I'm done with that for today." And I physically may have done something I might have wanted to physically do. But I scared the individual as well as myself because I couldn't believe my reaction to it. And we were standing in Chris Cole, which is a rehabilitation center. And I said to that person, don't ever say that in front of these people who don't get to turn this off, who are going through a life-altering event. So I've seen people and counselors go through immersion training, blindfold training, and come back and get overbold and almost shame a blind person. I learned it. I did it. Why can't you? And I've had to take counselors into the hallway and say to them, look, you can't be like that. That's a horrible way to approach this because they don't get to turn it off. Yeah. So I'm of mixed messages about blindfold training. I benefited from it. I benefited from it, of course, because I had it thrust upon me, but I'm very glad that I had cane travel as 6 years old.
There's some variables here, right? I mean, isn't it like...
There's so many variables.
Exactly.
It's whoever's leading the training or setting it up. It's, I mean, they have really the power to say, this is how you should, how I want you to use this training. This is what I want you to get out of it. And
right. So we're back to what Chancey was saying about sensitivity and goals. So sensitivity and goals and having an understanding, and certainly not one study. I agree with Chancey that there has to be more studies about this. And there's definitely benefits to doing it for long and short, like we said. But we'd love to know what you think out there in podcast land. You can leave us comments at feedback@blindbargains.com. You can leave them right there in the comment section. You can get a hold of us on Twitter, Blind Bargains. That's at Blind Bargains. You can tell us if we're right. You can tell us if we're wrong. You can tell us if we're full of it, or you can give us a new show title because we're interested in all of that. As we said before, these discussion sessions aren't necessarily going to have much of a point. They're just definitely to talk about one of the biggest stories that we saw last week. And we're always interested in what you have to say. Well, we're going to come back after this wonderful tip and get into some of your commentary, like we just said, in the mail thing. I'm still trying to get my hand on this new show, Jay. There's some things I want to say and some things I just can't. Bag of mail. See you right after this tip.
Here's a tip. Did you know you can set a timer directly from Google? Go to google.com and type in timer for 10 minutes. The resulting page will look something like this.
Search results, 9M57S.
If you have a modern screen reader, the timer will automatically update.
55S, 54S, 51S, 50S.
Below the timer are some handy controls, which let you reset the timer or mute the audio when it's complete.
Stop, reset, mute, enter full screen.
Send your favorite tips to tips@blindbargains.com. Oh, looks like we're out of time.
Hey, everyone. I've got this huge, big bag of mail. And we got some wonderful suggestions on both Twitter and in the email. And also, hey, we even got a comment here from the Blind Bargain site. So let's definitely... I like this one right here. Blind Bargains Cast with a Q. That way we could call ourselves BBQ. I love it.
That's awesome. That's not bad. Only if it comes with food. A lot of like bargain related. Janine had the Bargain Bidden podcast, or Stocking the Shelves. You know, and here's the question: does the Blind Bargains podcast need to include the words "blind bargains" in it, or the word "blind"? Or do we run all the way the other way towards Learning Alley? And that was, you know, I don't know. We go either way. You sent in one too, Chansey. I just saw you sent in a name.
I did send one in, and I'm pro blind, so I sent in still blind this week.
It was Alex Hall who recommended the food one, so you know where I went with the PBQ. Still blind this week. That has some moments, like John Oliver this week tonight. Is that kind of like something like that? Yeah.
We can be your source for news and information until the cure comes along. There you go.
This week, the robotic eyes have come in. The podcast is over. No.
Yep, see you later. Oh, you got our panel options keep shrinking. Best says the blind bargains beat. Julie actually was doing anagrams with the show name, which I thought was interesting. Dave says assistive news and tech talk. That's generic, but you know, hey, it is exactly about what this is. And the blind bargains tech cast. That's again pretty generic.
Yeah,
that's from Greg. The gadget cast, gadget watch.
Yeah, you definitely need something. There's three little letters that we're looking for, and that's SEO. We're looking for something that does search well, so optimization.
Yeah, you know, no reason to hide that fact, right? I mean, that is part of the process, right? Is like you name a show, you want one that's going to come up well in search. So, you know, if you were looking for a cool podcast on blindy things and blindest things, what would you search for?
Yeah.
Blind podcast. I mean, so maybe in that sense, it does need to have the word blind, you know? So there's that.
Maybe.
We'll still take these for another week or so. Name the show at blindbargains.com and send those in.
Yeah.
We had some other feedback there.
Yeah, we do. From Twitter, Yadiel says that it was such a good thing to hear Ricky and I on a podcast. Yeah, we do. We've done a couple of those. I might know one or two.
You guys have had a lot of experience there.
Yeah. Once one or two.
100.
Jane Saw loves the first podcast. Great to hear some familiar voices. Well, Jay and I have talked on microphones before about a certain operating system. So yeah, familiar voices there. And you know what? I think at some point we need to get Anna and Steve together, get the band back together and talk about Lollipop.
Talk about Android.
And bad. Oh dude, just talk about Lollipop. No, forget Android. I just want to talk about Android.
20% of our listeners are really excited about that. But
yeah, that might have to be a special. That way they could just ignore it or something like that. V5.02 is out. Oh my God, it takes forever to update. That is something iOS has on Android by a mile. Oh my God.
They keep breaking stuff.
Yeah, that too. Web views.
Uh-huh. Hey, you can win stuff though too. And we have partnered with Shelley Brisbane. Who has released, we mentioned the new iOS Access for All book, the iOS 8 edition, which we got a review copy of, and we were going to talk a little bit about that later on. But we're going to throw all of your comments in over the next couple of weeks, whether it is via email, Twitter, or on the web. And every time that you send in a comment, or you know, when you send in a comment, what we'll do is take one per person. You're not going to, I mean, you can comment on more than one thing, but we're going to give you one entry per person, and you'll be thrown in to win a copy of the book. So we'll link to the book if you want to just buy it now, which you know might be a cool idea. But if you want to try to win it, you can send us a comment. You got to say something a little more than just hi.
Yeah. You know, should we need a show suggestion? If not a show suggestion, and that could be title or what we should talk about.
If you comment on a story, that's fine. You know, if you want to give feedback on one of the
articles. Or just do rate us and how it's going. And be sure to rate us on iTunes if you can on the podcast. Remember that a rising tide lifts all boats. So a rating for our podcast also rates other blindness podcasts and gets them higher up in the App Store. And so definitely do that. And tell your friends to go click on the links because that is helping us get an idea of how well the show is doing and popularity. I'm going to leave this. Okay, so blindfold training, there is such a thing for the blind. You know, would you wear earplugs for a week instead since we can't blindfold you? Would you do that? Would you give an idea to see what it's like for deafblind individuals, Jay?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean,
you gave that some thought. I think that was good.
Because I don't know. And I've said that. Like, the multiple disability thing freaks me out. Absolutely freaks me out. And I see capable deafblind people that they've found ways to get around there. you know, those
there was a big conference recently that was very successful.
It's doable. Yeah. But I guess I'm just not used to it. But I know people that are either totally deafblind or partially deafblind that do manage just fine.
Chansey, blindfold, earplugs?
I want to say yes, and then I also want to be honest. You know, of course it petrifies me, which is maybe the whole reason why it might not be a good idea in the short form. You know, I'm sure I could do it because if I became deaf tomorrow, I know I wouldn't give up on my life. So I guess I'd figure it out. But that doesn't make me want to seek out the experience.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So when you're thinking about blindfold training, all of those who might write in who have an opinion, remember, there is that kind of thing that you can experience. And there is always other disabilities out there that are tough to experience. I've done both and gone through training for both, as I said, because that's what you had to do at the state of Texas. And it is uncomfortable, but it does make you understand a lot about individuals who have it. I don't want to say
they
rougher, but definitely.
They do deaf-blind training?
There are people who especially blind counselors or people who come to the agency, they will experience that where they will have to do that. And some of us, I was in what was called the employment assistance program, so I had to understand what it was like for a deafblind person to try and do a job like that. So
fair enough.
So I would experience that. And of course, being a really bad Braille user, that training went really bad for me. So Yeah.
I was a little bit specialist. Have to know Braille.
You can see where that went.
I feel like you have to know Braille. As a deaf blind person, you have to know Braille.
Absolutely. And if you're a trainer out there and you really want to help individuals, learning hand sign, finger sign, and things like that to help the deaf blind community is a big, big need for that. So definitely, if you're a trainer out there and you're looking to do more in assistive technology, that is definitely a place where you could.
I have to make a confession. On that, I was partly my excitement earlier before we went on the air had to do with the Google Lens thing, reading signs. I thought we were talking about reading sign language and translating the signs for a second.
No.
Which would be really useful talking to someone. That's why I was all geeked up about that. And then I realized that wasn't it. So
the Kinect and some of those gloves. In fact, I know I've talked about it on a previous podcast before, but there's the gloves that can actually get the articulation of hands and actually do real time signing to text translation for those people who are deaf, who don't know ASL, American Sign Language. And in fact, I think the Kinect in the Xbox One is actually sensitive enough that it can actually interpret or do sign language. So there are some things like that.
Not the ASL grammar though, right? That's got to be super
probably not. I'm sure if there's some nuances or contractions or something that we would see as Braille contractions, it might not get
even
that.
Word order is different though.
Sure.
Sentence
or
structure
slang.
Is totally different in slang.
Yeah, there's a lot of slang in the deaf community and it can change region by region. So that's why FaceTime, there was another great use for FaceTime. The deaf community jumped all over FaceTime because it was pretty good at doing real-time video for being able to see things better than Skype did for doing translation. So, yeah. See what you can learn. It's not all about blindness here on the Blind Barkins something or other. We will get a title for you really soon. But in the meantime, definitely let us know what you think about the show and as well as titles. Chansey, thank you for being here. Where can people find you to learn more about what you do and follow you on Twitter like I do?
You can find me at Chansey Fleet, Chansey Fleet on Twitter and at gmail.com and all of the places. I think I'm the only one except for some guy in Kansas that has a wrecker service. So I'm not that guy. And I do work at the New York Public Library. I am definitely off the clock right now. So anything I said tonight represents me and not the NYPL. That being said, we do have some awesome tech workshops coming up. We've mentioned Twitter quite a lot throughout this podcast. And if you're not on Twitter and you want to be, we have a Tackling Twitter workshop coming up this Saturday and lots of other things. You can find us at talkingbooks.nypl.org. And we also went ahead and posted each and every workshop in the Blind Pargans Classifieds for just $5. So that's another place that you can read about what we do. And you can always reach me on Twitter or email and ask me questions there.
Jancy's a good friend, and she's been at AT Trainers, and she's followed me around through two or three jobs. So I owe you a big one, Jancy. Thank you for being on.
Thank you.
JJ, where can people find out about Blind Pargans and AT Guys and so much more?
Yeah, sure. Blindbargains.com. I think we've mentioned that site on here a time or two.
Once or twice.
At Blind Bargains on Twitter. Of course, go to AT Guys for all your assistive technology gadgets. I'm playing with a whole bunch of new products, potential products.
So new stuff? Yes,
I love new toys. So trying out some new stuff. We might have some more things coming there soon. Or you can email, if you email bargains at blindbargains.com or any of the at blindbargains.com addresses, they'll come to me and I will see them and we'll take care of you. I won't be on the show next week, so you can find me on vacation or in Orlando. If you're coming to ATIA, hey, let me know. I'll be there Thursday.
Party time. I will be waiting for JJ's audio to come all the way from sunny Florida, in which we will be putting those together, and you can catch that on the Blind Bargains audio feed. I'm Joe Steinkamp. You can follow me on Twitter, where you can hear a lot of these news stories or read a lot of these news stories, depending on whether you're using Braille or speech, ahead of time before they show up in the show. You can also let me know what you think about some of these news stories and if they should be included on the show. I am at Ranger Station. That's RangerStation. That's RangerStation. Yeah, that. TION. And you can definitely get a hold of me there, but it's high traffic and definitely going to be high traffic because of the Windows 10 presentation that's coming up soon. And it looks like we have an Apple presentation in February. I live tweet that, and several people know that I say sarcastic things there. So definitely follow me for that and then unfollow because it's a lot of high traffic of tech news and stuff about sci-fi and food and all kinds of crazy stuff. You can also reach me directly at joe@atguys.com. If you want to write me directly and talk about the show, feel free to do so. Look forward to hearing from you. And we also thank Patrick Perdue, who makes us all sound much better than we actually are. Thank you very much, Patrick, for making sure that this show gets out on time and helping us sound really, really good. Thank you, everyone, for a wonderful week, and we will see you next time here at Blind Bargains.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2015.